I'm speaking to you this morning on this subject, on the trail of His sheep. I'm saying that the Good Shepherd is on the trail of His sheep. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit is on the trail of His sheep. I'm saying that the man who knows the gospel and his sent of God to preach the gospel is on the trail of His sheep for the glory of God Almighty. I'm going to read a scripture from John chapter 10. I wish that you'd read the whole 10th chapter of John today. It'd be for your good, for your benefit, if you would. And it would edify you and instruct you in some very important things. John, the 10th chapter. Read it prayerfully, carefully, slowly. But let me give you two verses, John 10, 14 and 15. Christ said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, this particular group, or even this Jewish nation, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, my friends, I realize that what I believe the Bible teaches and what I preach to you on this television program and have preached to you for the past 8, 9, or 10 years, number one, is in direct conflict with most of today's religion. Now, I know that. What I believe the Bible teaches and what I've been preaching to you and what I'm preaching to you this morning is in direct conflict with most of today's religion. I realize, secondly, that what I'm preaching to you is not preached by most preachers. They either do not know it, or if they know it, dare not preach it. And then thirdly, what I'm preaching to you today directly contradicts what most religionists believe about God, about man, about sin, about Christ, about the cross, about salvation, and about eternal life. But I'm saying this, God's preacher, His true servant, must not seek to please men, nor to build for himself a name, or a following, or a kingdom. We are sent of God to preach what the Word of God teaches, whatever the cost. The Apostle Paul said, if I please men, if that's my objective and motive to please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. Paul said this to the elders at Ephesus. He said, I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, and I have coveted no man's silver or gold. I haven't asked you for any. He said, in fact, I've worked with my own hands to support myself and those who are with me, building tents to keep from being a burden to you and to keep from giving you the wrong impression that God needs you. You know, the Lord said through David, He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, the gold and silver that has been mine and hadn't been mine is mine. And I'll tell you this, the older I get, the more weary I am of today's religious games and religious pretension and hypocrisy and showmanship and today's religious con men. I tell you, it's so easy to get swept up today in the games of religion. Just swept up in the games of religion. I've watched some of these television preachers start out with some so-called good principles. They're going to do this and do that. But as they get a little notoriety and a little success and build a few more buildings, they get away from their original purposes and principles and get swept up in this showmanship. Somebody said not long ago, religion is showmanship, and when your competitor gets a bigger bloom, you just get a bigger bloom than his and offer it to the public, and it's going to blow up in everybody's face when it's over anyway. But I'm weary of that. Totally weary, and I'm standing by the same principles that I stood by when I started on this station many years ago, preaching the same message, not begging, our God's not a beggar, not acting as a religious huckster and merchandiser of souls, because our God will meet the need of His true prophets. But I'll tell you, it's easy to get swept up in these games because the hearts of men are deceitful and desperately wicked, and because we're covetous and self-centered creatures, because we lack the praise of men, we seek the honor of men and not the honor of Jesus Christ. But God's true preacher is going to stay with the gospel, and he's going to preach it for the glory of God, whatever it costs him and whatever it costs those who hear him. Oh, that we might do what we do for the glory of God. Oh, that we might be concerned for the glory of God, not for tomorrow, not for our buildings and our name and our schools and our programs and all of these things, but just concerned for the glory of God. I tell you this. I said this to the congregation just last night. All the great events of life, the great events are performed but one time. I was born one time in the flesh. I'm not talking about the new birth now. I'm not talking about regeneration. I'm talking about coming into this world. I came into this world one time. I was born one time. August the 19th, 1926, 56 years ago, I was born into this world. I'm going to live one time on this earth. No more. No reincarnation. No coming back into this world. I'm going to live one time. One time. And then I'm going to die one time. It's appointed unto men once to die. And that day is approaching. It's a whole lot nearer now than it's ever been. My life is about 6/8 or 3/4 gone. And then I'm going to stand in the judgment for one time. Stand before Almighty God. I'm going to hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness." And a lot of religious folks are going to hear that. Those who said, "We preached in your name and prophesied in your name and did many wonderful works in your name," they're going to hear him say, "I never knew you." Some folks are going to hear him say, "Come ye blessed, enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of this world." I want to hear that. Desperately, I want to hear that. My friend, after that, we're going to enter one time into a long, long eternity, from whence there is no return and in which there's no change. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. He that's ungodly, let him be ungodly still. He that's righteous, let him be righteous still. Life is real. Death is real. Judgment is real. Eternity is real. And so it's time we got serious and quit playing games and entertaining men on the road to hell and building our great selfish, self-centered monuments to our own name. Most preachers, the people know more about them than they do about God. They know more about them than they do about the Christ they claim to preach. They know their name and they don't know the names of the apostles. It's time to get serious about our relationship with God. Not to present the preacher, but to present Christ. Not to leave anything to whim and fancy, but to turn men's eyes to Calvary. Because our God says over and over again, "Don't boast of tomorrow. You don't know what a day's going to bring forth. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." James the Apostle said, "What is your life? It is but a vapor. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. What is your life? It's appointed unto me and once to die." So I'm saying for those of you who have some wisdom, those of you who have some perception, those of you to whom God has given some understanding of the reality of this critical situation of life and death and judgment and eternity, to those of you who know the seriousness of the issues of life and the certainty of death and judgment, I'm going to set forth some solemn truths today, and I want you to think on them. We're going to go to school today. We're here, preachers holler, "Believe, believe, believe." They never tell people what to believe about God, what to believe about man, what to believe about the gospel, what to believe about Christ, what to believe about the mysteries of the grace of God, the kingdom of God. Just believe, believe, believe. Keep the faith and sing another song. Keep the faith and pass the offering plate. Keep the faith and send us a dollar. Keep the faith and keep us on the air. They have programs to raise money to have more programs. To have more programs to raise money to have more programs, you know. And I hear them all the time saying, "Send us an offering so we can preach the gospel." And I never hear any of them preaching the gospel. I just hear them raising more money to have more programs, you know. But we're going to school today, and I want you to listen. Will you get serious? You may stand before God tomorrow, but I'm going to give you about six things that you need to think about. Think on these things. Number one, man. That's us I'm talking about, me and you. I'm not talking down to you. I'm talking about us. Man, and I'm one of them, is a fallen, sinful creature. The Scripture says in Romans 5:12, wherefore by one man sin entered this world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, the death of sin, for all sin. Romans 3:10 says, it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, not one. There is none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Scripture says God looked down from heaven to see if any did do good, and he found there's none righteous, no, not one, that every imagination of man's heart continually was evil. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. John said in 1 John 1:8, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. If you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar, and the truth's not in you. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In this flesh no man can please God. Isaiah said, we all do fade as the leaf. Our righteousness is a filthy rag. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, this understanding of this state of man, this condition of man since the fall, this principle of evil, this nature of sin, this body of death, this body of sin that dwells within us, that state of guilt led the prophets to ask some questions. I'm amazed that people today don't ask any questions, any sensible, intelligent Bible questions. Oh, they ask, will America fight Russia? That's a profound question to most people. Where'd Cain get his wife? Brother, with all the questions you need answered, that's the last one. Or will we know each other in heaven? My friend, if you never get there, it won't make any difference, will it? So you need to ask some questions. And these prophets found out the condition of man by nature, and they asked this question: how can man be just with God? Now that's a question for you to contemplate a little while. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? That's a pretty good question. Here's another one. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? Here's another one. Who shall stand in his presence? And the answer comes back, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And that's nobody. Absolutely nobody. And here another question is asked. If a man sins against a man, an advocate, a lawyer will plead for him. A judge will plead for him. But if a man sins against God, who's going to stand for him? So I'm saying to you, we need to consider our condition. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leper change his spots? Jeremiah said, neither can you do good that are accustomed to doing evil. Here's another statement. I said this, man, by the fall, by his nature, is a sinful creature of no spiritual ability, no spiritual desire, no spiritual understanding. But the Lord God, secondly, according to the Bible, the Lord God, in his infinite, eternal mercy and grace, has purposed to save out of Adam's fallen race and redeem a people to populate his heaven and to populate glory. And every one of them, he has determined, predetermined, will be just like his son, Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't purpose to save the angels. The angels fell before man did. You know that. Most of you do. Some of you do. And the Scripture says he didn't take on himself the nature of angels. He left them reserved, chained in everlasting darkness awaiting judgment. But he, according to his own wisdom and his own will, took on him the seed of Abraham. That is to say, the angels which fell were not redeemed and will not be redeemed, but God Almighty has been pleased to save a people out of Adam's race, out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. Now, the Scriptures teach that before man fell, that God ordained that salvation, and ordained Christ to be the surety of that salvation, the guarantor of that salvation, for it says he's the surety of an eternal covenant. His blood is the blood of an eternal covenant. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I'm saying that God didn't wait till man failed and then decide how to save him. God didn't wait till man failed and then decide who he'd save. God had purposed in an everlasting covenant of grace before the foundation of the world to have a people redeemed by Christ and conformed to his image. That's what the Word of God teaches. You can call that high doctrine or deep doctrine or anything you want to. It's just truth, that's all. Nothing deep about it. It's just so. And the Scriptures teach that because of sin and because of darkness and spiritual death, no man by nature will come to God. No man desires God. Men desire darkness. They love darkness. They love evil. We do by nature, by birth. If any man comes to God, God will draw him. If any man calls on God, God will call on him first. If any man loves God, it's because God loved him first. That's so. That's so. Herein is love, not that we love God. He loved us. We love him because he first loved us. That's the Word of God. So from the beginning, Almighty God, out of Adam's race, according to the good pleasure of his own will, chose a people and called them his sheep. That's right. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, we're bound to give thanks for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ said to his disciples, you didn't choose me. You wouldn't choose me. You had no desire to choose me. You had no understanding whereby you could choose me. You're fallen men. I chose you. That's what the Word of God teaches. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, predetermined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he did predestinate, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us in eternal purpose, if God be for us in eternal wisdom, if God be for us in eternal grace, who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Election doesn't shut people out. It is a door by which men enter. Election's not the sinner's enemy, sinner's friend. If he had not chosen me, I wouldn't have chosen him. If he had not loved me, I'd have never loved him. If he had not called me, I'd have never called him. That's so. Man is a fallen creature, but God's determined to save fallen creatures. And then thirdly, our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven. Now, throughout the Old Testament, in every dispensation, God promised his coming and pictured his coming and prophesied his coming and told of his coming and typified his coming. And finally, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them born under the law. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ came, sent by the Father, to save those whom the Father in his eternal purpose and plan decreed and determined to have the gift of life. Matthew 1:21, the angel said to Joseph, call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. Paul said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Christ said himself, I've come to seek and to save the lost. John 10:11, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10:15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I'll tell you, in his life, he is our representative. By Adam's transgression, many were made sinners. By Christ's obedience, we were made righteous. In his death, he's our substitute. By his stripes, we're healed. In his resurrection, he's our hope. He said, because I live, you live. In glory, he's our forerunner who has already entered within the veil and staked a claim for us. Already entered in. At the right hand of God, he's our mediator and our high priest. And in all things, we're complete in Him. For He is made unto us wisdom, all we need, righteousness, all we need, redemption, all we need, sanctification, all we need. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. And no word in the English language describes the blessings that the believer has in Christ better than the word C-O-M-P-L-E-T-E, complete. Complete. All the law requires, all that justice demands, all that God commands, all that heaven expects is met in Jesus Christ. That's so. That's so. Man's a fallen creature. God from eternity says, I'm going to have a people out of that fallen race. And He sent His Son down here to provide a remedy, to provide a ransom, to provide a redemption for those people. Now, fourthly, His sheep will hear His voice, and they'll believe on Him, and they'll come to Him. He said that. You read John 10. There came some religious people to Him that day while He was speaking. And they said to Him in John 10:24, same chapter you got open there. They said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. If you be the Christ. If you be the Christ. He replied, I told you. See it there in verse 26? He said, I told you, but you didn't believe me. I told you who I am. I told you whence I came, but you didn't believe me. And you believe not because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I'm on the trail of His sheep. He's purposed their salvation. He's purchased their salvation. He's promised their salvation, and they're going to hear. He said, they, my sheep, will hear my voice. Not an audible voice from heaven. They're going to hear Him speak through His Word. They're going to hear Him speak through His Spirit. They're going to hear Him speak through His messenger. They're going to hear Him speak through His gospel. They'll hear my voice. Watch it. They'll hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No man will ever pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and nobody's going to pluck them out of His hand. Go back to John 6:37. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that His sheep will hear His voice. He'll cross their path. He'll confront them with the truth, and they'll hear it. They'll be given ears to hear. They'll be given hearts to understand. They'll be given eyes to see what other men don't see, hear, nor understand. Our Lord said, John 6:37, look at this. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall come. And him that cometh, I'll in no wise cast out. No wise cast out. The shepherd is on the trail of these sheep. And the Holy Spirit is on the trail of these sheep. And the church is on the trail of this sheep. And the preacher of God is on the trail of his sheep. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, I know your election of God, brethren, beloved. How do you know, Paul? Because our gospel came to you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. That's evidence that you're one of God's elect because you heard the gospel. You heard it. You received it. You believed it. And not only that, but you walked in it. You became followers of us in the Lord. Not only that, but you came and became an example in your lives to all men. You became new creatures. God changed your habits, your ways, your conversation and conduct. You became witnesses. You told other people about Christ. You turned from your idols to serve the living God. And right now, you're waiting for His Son from heaven. You're one of His elect. All the evidences point to the fact that you're one of His sheep. You've got His brand on your ear. You heard His voice. You got His brand on your foot. You're following Him. Now watch this. Out yonder, number 5, in every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven, there's some sheep of Christ. I don't know who they are, but I'm looking for them. I'm preaching this gospel every Sunday. I'm not preaching about it. I'm not saying I'm going to preach it if you send me a dollar. I'm preaching it. I'm telling you who Christ is and what He did and where He came from and where He came to and what He accomplished and how He died and where He is now. And that's your foundation and that's your hope and that's your refuge and that's your peace in Him. And I'm pressing upon you the claims of Jesus Christ, the royal claims, the crown rights of Jesus Christ, and calling upon men to bow to Him, bow to Christ, not to an ordinance, not to a law, not to a denomination, not to a person on this earth, but to Christ. And I know out yonder there's an Abraham buried in idolatry, one of God's sheep. There's a Saul of Tarsus buried in religion, one of God's sheep. There's a Zacchaeus sitting up a tree somewhere. He'd been up a tree a long time. in position, power, and possession. But he wanted God's sheep. And out yonder is a Mary Magdalena possessed of seven devils, and an Onesimus running from the law, and a harlot dedicated to the flesh, and a jailer, and a Lydia, and a thief, and a woman at the well. And a lot of you religious people go missing because you're not his sheep. But these people are. These are my sheep. He said, I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. They'll hear my voice, and they'll come to me. They'll come to me. And I'll tell you something else about them. Once they come, you couldn't run them away with a 10-foot pole. They will persevere. They will continue in the faith. That's what he said. That's what he said. My sheep will hear my voice, and they'll follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Never perish. Those whom the Father hath purposed to save, he said, I'll raise him at the last day. Those who see the Son and believe on him, I'll raise them at the last day. Those whom the Holy Spirit quickens, those whom the Holy Spirit regenerates, those whom the Holy Spirit begets and awakens, they will continue in the faith. The just shall live by faith. They shall continue in the faith. Man's a sinner. God's purpose to have a people. He gave his Son to redeem them. He gave his Spirit to call them. He's going to confront them with the gospel. And you know how you can tell his sheep? They'll hear his voice. They'll hear his gospel. They'll bow down. They'll follow the shepherd. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They won't follow another shepherd. They won't hear another voice. They'll follow me. Not me, not any other preacher. They'll follow Christ. And they'll never perish. I give them eternal life.